Yeah, it just froze for a second then. Is that all right?
Maybe if I... freezing is fine. If it does freeze, just carry on. Just carry on talking because just ignore it.
That sounds easy enough.
Yeah, no, it is. You've got to practice it, but it'll be fine. We'll just go with it. Right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Breaking Bod podcast. Today, we're here with George Thomas, a.k.a. The Mindful Bloke, is your Instagram handle. And to be honest, George, I don't actually know anything about you, really. So tell the people what they should know about you to start.
Yeah, that's fine. I think you just cut a bit of that. I'll carry on anyway. So yeah, my name's George, as you said. So I run the Mindful Bloke on Instagram. Well, a few followers may have seen it. If not, it's mostly just a page focused towards men's mental health, just reducing the stigma towards it. The main reason, I guess, I kind of created it was mostly because it's quite obvious to see, I believe, in the last few years, the way men's mental health in general, the stigma for it has definitely dropped. But I feel quite a lot of the narratives that go towards mental health nowadays is I'll be very careful the way I explain it now, because if I explain it wrong, I could end up shooting myself right in the foot.
But basically,
I feel like the narrative for it is a lot based on, you know, opening up and talking to friends and family and work or anyone you feel comfortable with, which is obviously all correct. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. And the first thing about facing a problem is acknowledging there is a problem and asking for help. But for anyone who has gone through, I believe, like any sort of mental health or a bad time in their life, will know that it takes a lot more from just yourself in order to overcome it. And I feel like sometimes that side of it isn't so much produced in the mass media that we see regarding mental health. So I'm just giving my opinions on my page of how I, you know, do it myself, how I create these little habits, these little things I do in my day-to-day life. Big changes as well, nothing just major. Just show people, you know, there is sometimes a bit more than just a talking, but at the same time, talking is a massive part of it. I'm not trying to say that it isn't or anything. I just say that, you know, there's a bit more to it than that, and that's what I'm just trying to get across, really.
Yeah, there's talking, and then there's also practical things that you can change, and they're also very important things to consider. Have you suffered from difficulties yourself, or what sort of implored you to set up the page?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I believe in myself. I'm someone who's never suffered with it massively. So I've never had, you know, I'd never say I've had a big stint of a depression or like, you know, a big effect with anxiety or anything like that. But I have, like, you know, I've experienced lots of little jumps of it throughout my life. Which stems back to many, many reasons from many different things. But I think overall, and I think one of the big reasons as to why I did it, before until about last summer, I was in the Navy for 4.5 years, which, as you can imagine, you know, armed forces, military is quite a masculine kind of alpha male, traditional as well, environment to be in. And especially when it comes to mental health, I think a lot of people, you know, they were very supportive about it. And I think actually one of the big things when I first started my page, back I think it was earlier this year, and I shared it, you know, with my friends, and the people who supported the most were the ones from the military, which I thought was actually really surprising. I didn't expect that at all. I thought it was going to be the opposite, but I believe when I was there for 4.5 years, you know, I saw people, you know, struggling massively, saw, you know, people go to like extreme lengths, you know, to try and get all the situations they were in. And, you know, I felt like quite a lot of times myself, you know, I was trapped in certain places, I couldn't get out. And it was quite a horrible experience. It's only horrible when you're going through it, you see other people going through it, and there's not really much you feel you can do. So I believe a lot of that, when I left, I was like, you know, I just wanted to show everyone that, you know, even if you're in those situations, or it doesn't have to be just in the military or just anywhere, that, you know, there are things you can do. There's people you can talk to. You know, you're not going through it alone. And I think that was the major contributor to the reason why I also started it, was just to show these people that I've seen and myself, is that, you know, there is an answer. There's, you know, you don't have to think of the worst possible outcomes all the time for yourself and take every situation to the extreme. You can just you know, talk to someone, sit down, figure out what's going on, and just go from there. And it was just about, you know, for me going through that myself, I just felt like, and I've been, I consider myself quite lucky that I managed to get through those times and come out on the better end of it, whereas I know quite a lot of people didn't, and I'm probably still going through that. So I just want to show them that it's possible for me, it's possible for anyone else. Might take a little bit of work for more people, might take a little bit less, but we can all get through it together.
I love that, because I was just as you were talking, I was thinking an awful lot of the people that are doing what you're doing, I suppose, are people who have, they're kind of like the wounded soldier in that they're trying to help people who have gone through it themselves really awfully. But from what you're saying, you're clearly a very positive person. I'm sure that obviously has a other side to it, but it's refreshing to speak to someone who hasn't had, like, I mean, maybe you have, I don't know, we've only been speaking for each other for 5 minutes, but hasn't had massive trauma, but they're just doing it out of the goodness and their desire to help people. And I suppose that your talent to teach and help people in the ways that you can, and I've had a look through your Instagram and all the things that you've put up and stuff. Can't remember all of it. I was trying to pick up one. I tried to pick up like a few things to go on, but I actually thought, no, let's not do that because that's dismissive. So I like that you are just doing this because of the things that you've seen going on around you, rather than your own sort of past.
Or maybe
I'm wrong, but.
No, you're absolutely right. I think it was definitely, when I first started, that was a big thing on my mind. I was like, I don't feel like I'm almost qualified to talk about some of these things. Yeah. Like, I've not gone through them. And it was a tricky one. And I thought, do you know what? Like, and you, like you said, it's like, you don't have to go, I say it's a hard one to say again, but like, you can talk about and you can express, how you get through these things without going through the extremes. And I feel that can be a case, absolutely, for a lot of people in any sort, whether it be, say, running, for example, if you want to start, like, I know it's a bit off topic for mental health, but, if you want to start like a running page, about how you go for your runs, you can do that. You don't have to be a professional Olympic athlete, marathon runner to document your hobby or your desire for it. As long as you're doing it positively, you're doing the right way, you can do whatever you want, spread awareness and get yourself out there.
Yeah, because there's a sort of line of thinking nowadays that you should only take advice from people who, the quote is something like, if someone's not living the life you want to be living, then don't listen to any advice they have. And I think that's, I actually think that's bullshit. I think there's a lot of people out there who are living the lives that you, in theory, people want to be living, and they give absolutely rubbish advice. And there are conversely people who aren't living the lives you want to be living, and they could give you actually really good advice. It makes sense why you would do that, because I suppose you've got a better percentage or chance of the person who's got more experience in knowing what they're talking about, but it's not a direct, it's not a perfect science. So I think that's really, that's absolutely true. Talk about when you were in the Navy and what was that like? Why did you get into it?
It was, the reason I joined was, I was in sixth form when I was, sixth form age, I guess, 17 or 18. Everyone was like going off to uni, and it was just one of those ones. I don't want to go to university. It just wasn't a thing for me, maybe I was just like, maybe something I want to do in life. But right now, whilst I'm still young, I just want to like earn money and just travel the world, like those kind of cliches at that age. And I'm back at the base while I was down in Portsmouth, where I was based. I had like relatives and family down there. So I was quite used to like the environment. Just one day, Jeremy just clicked in my head. I was just like, oh, maybe I'll join the Navy. I didn't see like a poster or like a video or anything. It was just like, when you see those adverts on TV, like born in Carlisle, made in the Royal Navy. It was any of those.
Oh, classic. Apparently that guy had to, just a little before you carry on, that I've got a friend who's in the Navy as well. Apparently that guy had to quit because he just got so much stick, or not stick, but it was just the advert was ruining his life. So he just had to leave the Navy, which is madness.
I didn't know him, I think I joined after he did it, I heard about it, like he was, and I think they offered it like out like afterwards, like they were doing like a new campaign for people who want to like be the face, and I think everyone was just like, no, I don't want to be that person, really.
Exactly.
But when I joined, I joined, I didn't really think much of, I knew what the Navy was, I knew it was sort of going away, it was the military, you know, it's the armed forces, you know, you'd be in certain uncomfortable situations you may not be used to. But I was just like, I'm young, 19 or 18. And then I joined it, went through the training, which was completely eye-opening. Whilst, like, you know, all my friends were, it just felt like almost weird that I was like in the training for the Navy, like crawling through the mud in the rain, like in this awful weather, like 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. And then like everyone else like drunk. Basically. And I was just like, ah, like bastards, how dare you? And then like it went all the way through there. Well, and then like, you know, we got to like the proper Navy, I guess you could call it, like go on a ship. I was on like one of the aircraft carriers for like 3.5 years. I did like I can't remember exactly how much, like 550 to like 600 days, like kind of away at sea. And it was quite like, and I feel that was like definitely like the most, I would say daunting, but the most challenging aspect. I think even you could do like all the research you want to on how to, I guess, cope with it, like, you know, what you can do to get through the days. But I don't think the you don't realize how tough it can be until you're in that situation. Which I was, and when I was in there, I was like, when, like I said, I was young, I didn't have any responsibility, I had no bills to pay, you know, it was just me and my parents. I didn't have like, wasn't a relationship. So I was just like, it was quite easy for me. And then, you know, I saw a lot of people in the opposite situations, they're like kids and, you know, wives, and they have to leave them. And whilst we were kind of these young, early 20, late teens going off living the vida loca, they were like, you know, you know, really like taking it quite hard. But when it was a weird one, because when you aware, I'm not too sure if it was, I think a lot of people just would accept the fact that you're going away. And I think that was quite a lot of the military, the armed forces mindset is, you know, a lot of adaptation, like going through circumstances and, you know, accepting what it was. And I think that was a lot of it, that you're going away, you know, it's what you signed up for. It's not like being this big surprise that all of a sudden, oh, you're going away at sea for 7 months, you know, you're going away in April, you're not going to be back until 2 weeks before Christmas. So I think a lot of people just accepted it. And, you know, you go on, and then I think quite a lot of the time that you would, you know, if you were like suffering, or, you know, you were missing your family, or just missing home in general, or you might have just had a bad day in work, a lot, you know, you could, it was quite hard, you know, to get in contact with like someone from back home, or like, you know, to escape work, because you lived on the ship, you know, where you worked is where you lived. And it was quite, it could take a toll, especially after you've been on there for so long, you know, whereas the start it was seen as, you know, something fun. But after a while you get into it, you start getting like a little bit older, and then that's when it kind of starts to take its toll. But I'm glad I got out when I did. I feel like when I was like in my mid-20s, never want to do it long term. It was just like I said earlier, it's like a substitute for university almost. And then as I was getting to that age of 24, I think when I left, 23, I was just like, yeah, this is it for me. And then I left. But it was great. I would recommend it to anyone really who was in like a very similar situation. If you got no responsibilities, you're in that kind of like late teens, you're not too sure what to do, I'd recommend it to anyone really. And it's great, you know, you learn value, not earn them. I guess you earn them as well, but you know. And they carry through with all life, you know, like certain things I do now that, you know, they're probably like stupid ones, like, you know, make your bed every day, like which most people do anyway, like don't get me wrong with it, like other stuff, like always like ironing, like making yourself like well presentable, like all like, you know, like shaving, like weird stuff like that you probably don't even like think about. But I think it's like so much of that just being ingrained in my mind from that, that I don't think, although I've left, I think those 4 years are probably going to stick with me for a while, in a good way anyway.
Absolutely, yeah. Don't underestimate the power of discipline and the importance of earning, going through those things at such a young age. How old are you now? Oh.
25, I think. Yeah, 25. I had to think about that then.
25. Okay, so you literally, you left, it wasn't that long ago that you left then.
No, I think it was last June or July, I think it was.
Wow. So you really are. So what's life like post Navy? How did it take a long time to adapt, or not really?
Yes and no, actually. I think when I first left off, it was so, it was like a weight got lifted off my shoulders almost. I feel there was like, you know, sort of like there's like travel like every weekend, like back and forth from where I live now in Cardiff to Portsmouth. It's like a 3 hour journey each way, you know, give or take with traffic. And it was like certain bits like that, don't have to like go for my whole weekend, think about that drive on Sunday, and other bits just being able to relax, no, you know, not having that constant, I would say fear of going away, but not having that constant knowing that you're going to be going away at some point, you know. Yeah, like and stupid things like being able to make plans in the future that, you know, you're going to stick to because you're going to be in the country, and also bits like that. But I think when I first left, it was tricky because what I felt like was that in those 4.5 years there, although I had a lot of fun, I did enjoy, I felt like there's a lot of things I missed out on. And so I kind of rushed into a lot of things afterwards and I kind of just lost track a little bit for like a few months. Wasn't too sure what I was doing. I think I was just so happy that I wasn't in the Navy, that I was so focused on. Yeah, basically that I was like trying to make the most of everything that came my way. And then I think a lot of that did get out of hand. And, you know, lots of going out, lots of not really doing a lot then. And then a lot of stupid things, to be fair. Like, don't get me wrong, happened. But overall, then, I think I've managed. I think it was like, I think the only time I really sat down and, like, thought about post-Navy life properly was actually only about earlier this summer. I think it was, like, in June, July. I think I kind of coasted through almost, just more on this, like, high that I've, like, left the Navy. And I was like, well, I can't keep living on a post-naval life. It's like, I haven't post-naval, I don't know the best way to describe that one. I'm not going to post-naval life high. I'm like, I need to not forget about it. I need to move on from it. I need to focus on what I want now rather than what I had then and what's here now, which is, I don't even know what I'm saying now, but basically, you know, it's like, yeah, I was like so attached to that previous life that I was like, I need to let go of it and focus on the future rather than dwelling on what the past was. And I did, and I changed quite a few things in my life, and ever since then it's been going amazing.
That's good. Why has it been going amazing? That's a strong word to say.
Well, it's a really hard one to explain. So basically last November, it's a tricky one. So I got into a relationship back in last November with a girl. She's lovely. I got nothing wrong. No, she, like, there's nothing against her at all, but I think quite a lot of that was me just catching up on what I missed out. So when you're in the Navy, you're going away, you know, you can still get into relationships, but I was just like, don't want to get into the thing of getting into a relationship going out. So I got into a relationship, kind of rush into it a bit. I wasn't really sure if that's what I wanted at the time, but I was happy, you know. And as life went on, it was fine. And then I think, like I said, when I get to earlier the summer, I was just like sat down and I actually thought to myself, it's like, as much as, you know, this girl is amazing, you know, like she makes me happy, I'm just like, the whole relationship itself is just not what I need right now. I think back to it, I was like, I need to think about what I actually want in my own life first of all before I can give it to someone else. So I kind of ended the relationship. So I was quite hard to go through at the start, but managed to get through it in the end. And then I was like, well, that's fine, now I can focus on, you know, what I want in my life now, and then maybe get back into a relationship whenever I choose to. And then also decide to give up alcohol then towards the kind of middle end of the summer, which is a completely different thing to do. So so I gave up alcohol, gave up relationships basically, and which were two main things I focused a lot of my energy on, like for the last God knows how many years, especially more towards this time last year. And I realized that what I thought were good for me, those two things, were actually not good for me at all. And since quitting both, it's been like a whole new life has unlocked for me, and it's amazing. I just wish I could go back in time and just like say to myself, it's like, just stop getting tunnel vision of what you think you need and figure out what it is actually you want. What do you want to life? What can help you get to there, rather than just thinking, oh, I need to be in a relationship because I didn't have one for 4 years. I need to like drink all this alcohol because I've been away so long that I need to catch up on all this, these nights out with my friends. And I was like, well, didn't really need that. I mean, I had fun, don't get me wrong, but I didn't really need it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about alcohol, because the amount, I did see a common theme of alcohol coming up on your Instagram. I was like, I've got to ask this guy about alcohol. So what happened? What's happened with you and alcohol in the past? How's your relationship been with it?
Really bad. Well, I think anyone knows, like, the Navy, there's like a lot of booze involved in that, you know, quite a lot of the deployments of classes, you know, glorified booze cruises half of the time, or probably more than that, majority of the time. So I think there was a lot of that, you know, especially being young. You got into it and I left the Navy, and still a lot. And I think I was the kind of person, when it comes to alcohol, that I wouldn't have a need to drink like all the time. I could go like periods without drinking, but I would find myself, as soon as I start, I can't stop. And then it would like delve into like this big snowball. Like, you know, when you see people go out, they'll have like a few pints, then they can like get to like 9, 10 o'clock and be like, oh, do you know what? I'm happy with that. I can call it quits. I can go home. I was like the complete opposite. As soon as I had a few drinks in my system, that was it. And I was like going for it. Like, just, And it would just become this big spiral. Then the next day you'd be completely written off and I'd be hungover. You get all that anxiety and you'd be there. And it's like, why have I done this? You know, right, this is the only change my life around. A few days later, you do it all again and again and again. And I was just, and I got to a point, I was out with my friends. When did I quit? It was about halfway through August, it was. And I was just sitting there at my pint. I was like,
This August.
Yeah. It was only this August. And I sat there and I had my pint in front of me. And I just remember looking at it. And for the first time ever, I just looked at him and I was just like, I don't actually want this. And it was so weird. I was just, I couldn't like quite comprehend in my mind like why I was thinking that. I just remember looking at it. It's like, why? It was like, if I have this, I'm going to have another one. And then tomorrow was like, I remember thinking of it because I think the day after, which is a Sunday, was like my only day off for like after like 2 or 3 weeks where I had like nothing planned. And I was like looking forward. And I was thinking, I'm going to spend my only day off in all this time. I know 3 weeks not a lot of time, but I was just like, I'm going to spend it hungover. And I woke up the next day a bit hungover, can't lie. And I was just like, I just don't want to do this anymore. And it was the first time I felt like that because I've always woken up with a hangover and thought, that's it, you know, I'm going to change. But this was like the first time. And I was like, okay. And that was like mid to the end of August. And I was like, I'll do sober September. You know, I'll just quit alcohol for all September. I'll see how it goes. And then I ended up not really drinking until by that first week until this. So I was like, I've already got a week head start. Did September as September's gone. I was like, oh, I feel amazing. And I was in October. And I'm just like, well, actually, I don't understand why I'd want to go back to it. I mean, on the 1st of September, I went to London for a night out, which is quite daunting, really, because I didn't drink the entire time, which was so weird, but so refreshing that I went on this night out in London and like had all this great time with my friends and then got in at like 1, 2 a.m. to my hotel. But then at 8:30, 9 o'clock, I was up wandering around Westminster, just like looking for somewhere for breakfast, completely fresh. And I was just like, this is like, I've been like unlocked this whole new life all of a sudden. I was just like,
I think it's so. I'll be honest, George, if I've ever met someone who doesn't need alcohol to perk them up, it's probably you, to be honest. I mean, you with alcohol must be, I mean, I'm quite an introverted person at heart, really. So when I drink, I come out of my shell. But you, there's no shell there. So you, when you've been drinking alcohol, that has got to be something different.
Oh, it is.
And what did you just said something? I was like, oh, it doesn't matter.
I can't remember now.
I can imagine. If I was on a night out, I would not want to be the person who's responsible to look after you.
Yeah, no, it's.
I'd push that away, push that onto someone else. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Let's go back. Let's talk about. Talk to me about where do you get your ideas from? And how do you go about articulating them in the way that you do? I know that sounds like a very grand question, but you know what I mean.
Oh, as in just like the ideas for what I post or just like...
The ideas that you post.
I think a lot of it is a lot of research I like to do in the background of it. I see like a lot of posts like here and there that I'm like, oh, that's like a good idea. And I like kind of like put my own spin version on it. I did one about like, I think it was... different Japanese techniques to overcome laziness. And in fairness, yeah, I think I kind of copied that from someone. I can't lie, but I was thinking, well, it's so simple. I was like, you know, people should see, but like a lot of it, like I'll have like, it'll just like randomly come into my head. Instagram, I can schedule them. I've got a few and there's like a few of them. I'll just like sit there sometimes, not like unintentionally, just like, or intentionally sit there. It's like, right, let's think of something. It'll just like come into my head and, there's a few ones like, and I'll look out the window, I'll go to the shops and I'll see something or someone, or I'm just like, oh, come on, you can, in a good way though. And I'm just like, you know, there's things that you can just tell with some people that they kind of just need a boost with. And there's certain things, and that's what it kind of come from. Or just like, you know, I'll be like scrolling through Instagram one day and then I'll see someone who said something about, you know, something, which is quite a weird, hard one to describe, but you know, they'll just like say, and I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. Then I'm like, oh, but yeah, like sleeping, like the benefits of sleeping. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess sleeping's the one. But like, you look at them, and I say, well, yeah, I kind of agree with that one, don't really agree with that one. So, like, go off and like do a bit of research on my own, like what the benefits of sleeping is, you know, and I'm like, oh, that's a good one. Oh, that one's a bit generic. Everyone knows sleeping is like, you know, everyone knows you need to get like 7 hours of sleep a night. Everyone knows like the basics facts about sleeping, but there's other like certain bits you may not know. And so it's just about like picking and choosing from different ones and just thinking what people actually want to see. Because I think quite a lot of posts or articles, in fact, you know, and you see like, especially like the Lad Bible on Facebook, like half of the stuff they on those articles are just like the same thing they're just repeating over and over again. So it's just like a lot of like little articles I'll find, like picking a little bit from that one, a little bit from that one, put it together what actually is the useful information from them and just publishing them that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's really important. You're like refining the past and creating a better future, which is
taking out all the unnecessary nonsense.
Literally. And that's what we all should do. Shouldn't rip down the past, but we should take the good and dispose of the bad and add to the good. That's very important. So you're clearly, based on the fact that you do all that stuff and the fact that you things just come to you, you must be quite a creative person. Would you consider yourself a creative person?
I'd say so. Yeah. I think definitely that. Is it the left side or the right side of your brain, people
the
say?
Right side,
or
something? Yeah.
That's the one, yeah, where you're either like creative or you're very like, it's not non-creative, but like it's very linear, I guess. Almost
clinical.
like things. That's the one, yeah, yeah. And I'm definitely more on the other side of that one.
Yeah. So how do you output your creativity?
Mostly, to be fair, on that Instagram page.
Yeah.
I think I quite like, I say graphic design, but you know, I like messing around with like the different ways you can like put them on, like which, like, you know, especially the way Instagram works. You know, you see the first tile that comes up and it's like, well, what, you know, I see a lot when it's like, you look at it and it's like, oh, seven things after. It's like, oh, I can't be bothered. It's like, so what, like, you know, like experimenting with like different things, like what makes someone wants to actually like start swiping on it. If you like swipe on the first one and it's like a load of information, they're going to go, oh, I don't want to read it. And like quite a lot of bits like that, I like to like do a bit of like creativity, like maybe we'll do a bit more like that, maybe but like a little something a bit different, like when it comes to like all the reels as well, like just putting out like the people want, you know, the more basic ones where it's like five things to do or to do X and Y, and then just go like bam, 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 like two or three words per each one, like the people like that one. And you know, like going out, like trying to film stuff that'd be like good in the background and maybe like make people engage, you know, rather than just like the Subway Surfers like one next to it or anything and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, no, I'm like, I play like a lot of guitar as well, so I put a bit of it into that as well. And like a lot of stuff as well, like interior design, I guess you could say. Like I'm quite big on, you know, like especially if you see quite a lot of men as well, that the classic decorated apartment of like a TV, like a cardboard box and like a camp chair, and that's like their entire living room. And it's just like a bit like, actually no, I want a bit more than that. I want something a bit nicer and put it into there, you know, like going on pin, because I'm moving into a new apartment now, hopefully on next week after next. So you know, doing a lot of like research on like how to organize stuff in there, like which one will look best, you know, how to like maybe how the bedroom will look, how this one will look. And yeah, I do really get quite carried away with it sometimes. And like I'll have like a specific, I have a specific idea in my mind, and I'll be like, it has to be that. There's no other way. You can't compromise. It can't be anything different. It has to be this exact one. If it's not like exact, or like I'm just like, no, there's no point in it. It's not exact. It's just a compromise otherwise. And it can become quite annoying then with that going on in the internal monologue saying that it's just not good enough, which can be quite awful sometimes.
Yeah. Wow, you talk very fast, don't you? This is madness. I think this is the podcast I've spoken least by the half hour mark, which is probably a good thing, to be fair. So we'll allow it. You mentioned right at the beginning men's mental health. So what do you think are the biggest problems with mental health in the modern, in 2023 in general, not just with men, but just overall? What patterns do you see emerging?
I do see a lot of, from what I see, it's like not like directly, more so when I see people like especially like an article about a celebrity who's someone's published about like going through like a hard time, they've gone through divorce. Like, there's always like, I always feel like there's lots of people like comparing on there, and like people say, it's okay. Oh, like it doesn't matter for them. They're rich, they're a celebrity. And then other people, you know, like closer to ground, I guess you could say, like not normal people, but more like non-celebrity people, like, you know, like people like you, yeah. And I, like, you know, so you like might go for a bad time, but then like not like maybe a friend or family member may think that, oh well, but they've got like a girlfriend, you know, they what are they worrying about when they've got that? Oh, they've got like this high paying job, why are they can just go on a holiday, why are they? And like I see quite a lot of that now, where people can't just accept the fact that someone's just going for a bad time, and instead of just people going, oh, you know, like, what can I do to help, you know, maybe like, you know, go through that, there a lot of people I think do, you know, try and think that, oh well, you know, you, by saying you've got this great job, you're famous, you know, you shouldn't have these problems, you know, it's unfair, you know. And then you get like the older generation, you know, the more 50 plus, who then go, oh well, back in my day, and it's just like, oh, here we go again, and it just gets into these awful conversations, and it's just like this one person's just having a bad day, they're going for a bad time, that's nothing to do with their social status, how much money's in their bank, you know, what it was like for you 50 years ago. The facts are, they're on a bad day, like, do what you can to help them, just don't do it. And that is the main issue I do see on I will say a day-to-day basis, but I think it's quite prevalent as well.
Yeah. I was just came to me as you were talking. What's interesting about that is one of the reasons why people say that there's so much more mental health issues nowadays is because of how fortunate we all are, and how we don't have to worry about food, and we don't have to worry about heating. So our brains have more time to fester over other things. So if you consider that, then it makes more sense why people, as you've just laid out, that have in theory more may struggle as well. I mean, the other side is true, which is, I suppose from a kind of logical, rational perspective, it makes sense if your life is more stable, you are less likely to suffer from mental health quite often, but it's not absolutely the case. So I think that's quite interesting. Where do you read a lot of magazines?
No, is that what you, I don't read.
You read a lot of, because that's I like don't surprise some sort it. Of hello, okay shit, isn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's see some of the stuff in those magazines, or like, you'll see them pop up on like a Facebook ad, and it's just like, why is someone like talking about this? And I'm just like I always feel like with some of the articles where like it's a pointless one, they're like going after a celebrity for something that's completely irrelevant. I just always feel that some journalist has had to write that, who's gone through so many years of like university to get their journalism degree, by go for all these jobs, and to find, like, they end up writing this article. I almost just like, oh come on, it's like, you know, just it, yeah, it's a
well, they might yeah, want to write some that of the article ones because it
yeah they it may might, do to be fair, you
know. Elevate their career rather than writing an that's important true. Article because more people may read it.
Yeah,
I don't know how it works in
that's
journalism.
True, actually. No, neither do I generally don't write that.
No, exactly, no. Absolutely. I know what we can talk about. We can talk about Ted Lasso.
Oh,
I'm guessing you've watched
Ted
Lasso. I know, right?
It's
so good.
Ted Lasso. I was going to, if I went to a Halloween, I think I'd go to a Halloween party as well.
You would be Ted Lasso.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to do as well. I was like, I can like do my hair a little bit, you know, like.
Or Jason Segel.
Like have like, sort. Exactly, yeah. I was just like, well, it'll be easy. I got like, you know, there's a pair of like the creamish, you know, chinos, white shirt, you know, maybe I can get that Richmond jumper. And I was just like, that'll be like, oh, I love it. But I know Ted Lasso is one of the greatest shows. And I didn't realize when I started watching it that it's one of the ones that came out week by week. And I just binge watched it. All of a sudden got like one episode and it's like, oh, it just stopped. And I was like, oh, that's a weird way to end a series. And then I was like, oh, next episode comes out next Tuesday. And I was like, oh, I was getting right into that.
Yeah, you literally would be Ted Lasso. If I was if I'm looking for a Ted Lasso sort of impersonator, I would hire you. So why do you think
I'd take that as a compliment? Yeah,
it is a compliment, absolutely, yeah. Why do you think Ted Lasso has been so popular?
I think it started off quite comedic, and it was quite like a gentle, you know, sweet show almost. It was easy to watch, you know, you kind of knew what was almost going to happen in it. But then, like, I think the last series, especially the series before that, it really tackled, you know, quite a lot of mental health aspects, you know, especially, you know, like Ted Lasso, the main character himself, going through the his anxiety attacks, especially, you know, the one footballer, you know, coming out and his friend not knowing about it and then getting angry, but it turns out he wasn't angry and being gay. It was just, he didn't tell him, and like certain bits, like with that girl, I can't remember her name now, when her nudes were leaked, and like so many like different situations.
That Keely
like,
Jones.
No, that's Keely the
Jones.
One.
It is Keely Jones, isn't it?
It is. I was like, all these little situations happen every single day, but you never think of them as like a big thing. When they focus on them, like as they did in their episodes, and like actually show them how they would, actually like play out in almost real life, I was like, it was almost refreshing to see. And I was just like, oh, it's just like, and everyone like I spoke to was like, watch Ted Lasso, everyone loves it. I've never heard anyone like complain about it. I think that was like a big thing towards its success at the end, was all these issues it was going through and like, you know, shining light on them. And it just felt refreshing just to see it and not doing it more to dramatize the show, but I felt like there was a lot of issues they were going through on it to actually raise awareness for it rather than just trying to boost the popularity of the show, which was quite refreshing to see.
Yeah, and also he's such a positive male role model, isn't he? He's such a positive male figure.
Oh, absolutely.
I think, and in a world of, you know, so-called toxic masculinity and oppressive patriarchy, it was really nice to see a character who was just purely almost encouraging and empathetic and positive. So I think that's another reason why it was so popular, because that's a sorely missing character dynamic in pop culture.
But you got the Andrew Tates and the Patrick Bateman, the Sigma males, and is there the Ryan Gosling in Blade Runner? I think a lot of people take after. And then he comes along and it's just like refreshing. It's like, oh, finally, like just a normal, happy man. It's like all you need.
Yeah, this isn't that deep, to be fair, but it kind of is. How have you extrapolated what you've learnt from the Navy out into your everyday life?
I just like the word extrapolated. That's so
good. It's a good word, isn't it? Extrapolated.
Extrapolate. I'm going to use that every single day now. Extrapolate.
Every single day. You should use it twice a day, not just every single day.
Once in the morning, once in the afternoon.
Exactly. Once on Instagram as well.
Exactly. But to answer the question, anyway, before I get too carried away with the word extrapolated, what I've extrapolated from the armed forces the most is definitely the teamwork aspect. I think a lot of places falsely advertise teamwork, and it's not real teamwork. It's just people together. Like, there's no team aspect. You know, like you see all these companies, jobs, and they're like, oh, we're a real, you need to be a real team player and all this. So you go there, and it's just like, there's absolutely no teamwork here at all. Not in a bad way. It's just like people just work on their own. So it's just like, and I think quite a lot of that can be miscarried. But the main thing they used to say in the armed forces was, you're only as fast as your slowest man, which I think is a brilliant phrase. That's one of the best phrases I think I heard in the entire time I was there. And I was just like, well, that's so true. You know, when you're in a proper team environment, whether it be in sports or workplace, you know, you can be moving fast. But if there's someone falling behind, well, then you still got them. You know, you need to help them come with everyone. Otherwise, that's not what teamwork is. If you're just focused on the very end of the end goal rather than the in-betweens, then you just get carried away, and then you'll lose things, lose people on the way, and it's, you know, just stick together. And I just love that phrase. I'm not gonna get it tattooed. I don't want a tattoo of that, but I think it's just such a great phrase. Once people like, and yes, that's the one I need. Get a big poster of that. Believe. Hopefully, no one rips it down.
You do need that poster. If you haven't got that, exactly. Yeah, bloody Nate the Great rips it down.
Nate
fucking choke. What a dick. Yeah, that's good. You are spot on there. Teamwork, true teamwork, is something that probably people don't find very often, because, you know, one of the things that I've noticed about almost in most institutions is that everyone's sometime everyone's pulling in roughly the same direction, but sometimes people are pulling in different directions, and there's not as much unity as you'd hope. But imagine something like the armed forces is something where, you know, you really, really are pulling in the same direction, and the camaraderie and the bond that men in particular, I suppose, experience in the armed forces is probably something that they often describe as being unlike anything, any other friendship they've ever formed their entire lives. And I think that makes complete sense.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah, I have to agree with that on, well, every single point, definitely.
My final question, you ready? This is a big one.
Does it have extrapolated in it?
I can use extrapolated in it if you want me to, yeah.
Yes, please. That would make my day.
Yeah, good. What is your favourite colour? No, I'm joking. That's not it. I was going to say...
orange.
Oh, God, how can... Orange, that's a bold move.
Actually, not orange. Actually, more of like a mustardy colour. Mustard orange. Mustard gold? Mustard yellow? Yeah, that kind of colour. That shade.
Nice, yeah. I like that. That's a unique answer. How can I get extrapolated into this question? I'll do my best. So the podcast is called The Breaking Point Podcast because I'm interested. One of the things I find interesting is if people have had a breaking point where they thought they needed to make a change, or they thought, I need to do this now. And I suppose, how were you able to extrapolate any mental anguish into existential change? Get in.
That was good. I love that. I have to say, that was possibly the best worded question I've ever been asked in my life.
What a legend. That's going in the highlight, that is.
But no, to answer I just can't stop thinking about the question.
He's going to get it tattooed on his bloody underneath believe. He's getting the whole thing tattooed.
Believe. I can't remember it. What was it?
Probably can't even remember what the question is. Words. Yeah, exactly.
But no, I remember what he was saying. I can't even get my words out now. I'm just so taken away. I think the main part of that when you said it's about going, I don't know how to get my words out now. To make it even as good as a question.
We're coming to the end of the podcast, so it's fine.
Good answer.
Everyone's probably turned off by now anyway. So
that's true. Yeah, no one wants to.
No, it's
me
not.
Anymore.
Don't say that. Fucking hell. Right. Answer my extrapolated question. I worked hard on composing that. Can't let it go to waste.
You did. But no, the answer to the question definitely was when I made those changes earlier this summer about quitting relationships, I guess you could say, quitting alcohol, taking an entire step back from my original life. And just, it was hard because everything seemed to change. I knew it was going to be a good change, but as you can imagine, any sort of big changes at the start are quite daunting and quite scary because you don't really know how it's going to play out. I think in certain situations like that, when I was going through, I knew overall the end goal was going to be great. I knew that there's going to be no real downsides to giving up alcohol. If anything, it's going to get better. I knew the relationship one was a bit like, I knew deep down inside of me there was the right thing to do, which was quite hard as well to comprehend. Once I got through all that, like I said, I knew in the end it was the right thing to do. And I think quite a lot of the time in certain aspects of life, not even that, I've gone through where I've kind of just accepted the way things are because I don't want to change them because you don't know what change is going to bring. I think that was the first time I've really taken that step to better it, and it just felt shit at the time. But now you look back on it, it's just the right thing to do. And that's definitely something I'm going to carry forward in life. Although you don't know what's going to be, just do it anyway. Otherwise, if you're not happy where you are now, it could get worse. Hopefully not. But it's probably going to get better if you stick to it. You work hard for what you want, it will get better.
Absolutely.
And you can extrapolate it.
Oh, fuck yes. You genius. You ended it. That's the perfect note to end it. Right. George Thomas, aka the Mindful Bloke, thank you. Thank you very, very much for coming in. If I was thinking, like, as a business plan, if we could, like, make a mini version of you and just, like, sell it to people as, like, a sort of pep talker, sort of like a little boost that you could just, like, that's put very, in your, like, pocket.
That sounds like Black Mirror episode.
That is a Black Mirror episode, to be fair. This could be a Black Mirror episode right now.
It could be.
It ends with the end of the podcast. And then, like, there's a spy or something who's watching this, like, hacked us. And then he goes off and says, I'm going to do that. And then you get abducted. And then you get cloned. And then you get miniaturized. And the next thing you know, everyone's got a whole... And they could call it the Mindful Blokes. No, but seriously, though, you are... Yeah, I've written an episode, haven't I?
You have. Charlie, yeah. Crockett. No, what's his name, Charlie?
I don't know. Yeah, right. What is his name? Do you know why it's Charlie called Black Mirror?
I think, yes. It's because of that, because that is a mirror, but it's obviously black, but it's still a mirror.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, George, for coming on. Your positivity has been infectious. And you have smiled more than anyone has smiled throughout the entire podcast. And I also forget how young you are, because I think you must be at least the second youngest person I've spoken to. So fair play to you for still having a lot of knowledge at such a young age. You're still older than me, but you are young, though. only by a year. So it's nothing really. I'm getting old as well. But yes, thank you very much, George. And what I'll do now is I'll just close off the podcast, but don't leave the call, because we'll just chat for a couple of minutes afterwards just to sort of file everything off, right? Okay. Perfect. Thank you for watching, everyone. Another episode of the Breaking Point Podcast UK. This has been a far more relaxed and low-key and less intense episode, which is good because we've got to have a mixture. We've had quite a few heavy topics recently, so thank God for George, because he has been very refreshing with his positivity and his Ted Lasso likeness and Jason Segel likeness. So we're incredibly pleased to have him, and I've realized that was a long end, but thank you very much. Have you had a good time, George?
I have. A lot of information has been extrapolated, so...
Oh, he's done it again!
It was a great experience.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you end the podcast by saying your new favourite word.
Extrapolate. We've got all three versions, all three ways you can say it.